So he was 11 years old. So here's this 11-year-old boy selling cigarettes to German soldiers, Nazi soldiers.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Hey everybody, thanks for joining me. I'm going to be joined today by probably the person that knows me the best besides my wife and kids, my cousin Aaron. Obviously we've known each other for a real long time. So if you want to let us, introduce yourself and let us know, a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I'm Aaron, Andrew's cousin. I would say me and him growing up very, very close, continued on with us for a very long time. So that's kind of our connection there is my dad and his sister, that was Andrew's mother, and us being a year apart growing up together, we just had a very, very tight relationship. We related a lot to one another. We just really understood each other and really get where we were coming from. And it was just one of those connections that you have with people that you don't really get to experience a lot in life, personally for me. It's just natural and it's just genuine, and that's how I always felt about Andrew. But just a little bit about myself. I'm from Colorado, grew up in Colorado, born and raised here. Probably one of the very few people
nowadays,
are still
especially.
here that stood around. Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because I could speak on that. I'm an optician, so I sell the good old eyeglasses. I've been doing it for about 15 years. It seems crazy to think that. I'm 31 years old and I'm almost 15 years, and I've been doing something for 15 years of my life. But kind of leading back onto that, speaking to the native part, I get to talk with a lot of people in Louisville, Colorado, that are from different places, and I kind of find it fascinating because I do get to speak to a lot of people from all over the world, not only from the United States, but all around the world. So it's interesting. I mean, I think, and I, I'm not one of the people that feels like this state only belongs to us. I mean, a lot of people, feel that way, but, I'm not one of those. But anyways, my, most important things to me are my children. That's a big, big part of my life is my kids. And, they mean the world to me. So that really is kind of, what I work so hard for in life, and at the end of the day, seeing their faces is what makes me most excited about being able to get home and stuff. So,
absolutely, and they're great kids too. I've met them, and well, I've known them. I mean, since they were little babies and stuff, and so they're just amazing kids. And me and Robin think of them as our own kids, even just because they're we're all so close. And I think that's one of the things that I miss living out in Colorado with you is, having that opportunity to have our kids grow up together and stuff like that. So anytime we can be around them is just like, means that much more to us.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
And Aaron, I don't want to speak too much about, or get too personal, but Aaron, is a great father, and those kids really look up to him and stuff, and so do I. So just wanted to let you know that. Not that I haven't said it before, but
Well, thank you. Yeah.
But it's always good to say. I really do mean it and stuff. So but yeah,
I appreciate it. Coming from you means a lot.
I feel, the same way. Growing up, we were really close, and I think even more so outside of just being family members, it always felt like that for me anyway. Like we were just like best friends, which sometimes can be even more of a bond than family. I mean, we were and still are like best friends, tell each other everything and, stuff like that. So I think people kind of take that for granted sometimes, but me and you, even though we've gone through our our own situations and stuff, we've never really taken that for granted. And so I've
No.
always appreciated that about our relationship. But
Yeah.
getting back to, you know, I really liked what you said about you're one of the people, maybe the few, that doesn't believe this is just your state. Like, I really liked what you said about that. Do you see that a lot there in Colorado now? I know I've read about it and stuff, but you know, you're out there.
I definitely do. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I don't want to stereotype every
Sure, yeah.
Coloradan, if you want to call yourself that, I guess as a native, because I get a little bit of a mix, and being in the profession that I'm in, being able to talk to so many different people each day, new people, customers that we've had coming in for years. It's 50-50, honestly. I mean, I think that there are those people, and they'll make it known that they don't like people moving here from other states, which to me, it's kind of silly and it's a little bit childish. That's just my personal opinion. Everybody's entitled to their own, because I think that if you have an opportunity to better your life, or you know, to see maybe your kids, you wanted to move them out here for different reasons. Maybe you finally got that promotion that you've been working really hard for, or you had family that was out here, or whatever the reason might be. I think it's awesome, actually. I mean, I think it takes more courage to be able to pick up and move out of your home state and move somewhere else than to stay somewhere your entire life, because that takes you more out of your comfort zone, I feel like, than anything, because you don't know what to expect. I mean, if you have been somewhere so long, it's like, I mean, I know all these streets and different little places, I mean, like the back of my hand. But when you go somewhere new, it's like when you travel to that place, I mean, everything's fresh and everything's brand new. So you don't really have that comfort. So you're trying to build and figure out for yourself how to become comfortable, I guess, where your surroundings become. So,
I agree. I mean, the traffic sucks, you know. I mean, we were just out there, and obviously we're some of those people that moved across the country, but so when we were going back, it was really weird seeing it as like a visitor, you know, because it's different. Like, the traffic's heavier and it's harder to get around, and there's so many new things and stuff. But if those new people hadn't moved there, that new, you know, I mean, they've built a bigger, better economy because of it. So, So no, I agree with you. I think that's a really, really good way to look at it. And I think more people need to get on that opinion, because you know, more people in your state, it makes things harder, but it also makes things easier. So, But I guess back to growing up, you know, together. What did you think? You know, I mean, obviously we were really close. We did, you know, I think I remember us hanging out a lot more in like middle school and high school and stuff like that, just because when we were younger, obviously, your parents weren't together anymore, so I don't think you came over to like Grammy's as much as you used to. But I remember going to your grandparents' house. And you know, I know that was like a huge part of your life. Do you want to talk about them at all?
Yeah, definitely. So my grandparents, I mean, definitely played a really big role in my life, you know, for many, many reasons. One, growing up as a kid that I would consider a single parent. I mean, my mom mainly raised me. You know, my dad was, you know, he was in and out of my life. That's something that we, I mean, you know, further on down the line as I got older, things changed a little bit. But my mom was my primary person I was around. And with her being a single parent, my grandparents took that role of, you know, my grandpa took the role of being my father figure. And my grandma was kind of like a second, not kind of, but she was like my second mom.
Yeah.
And the two of those people, I would say, probably have made the biggest impact on my life with my upbringing and, just the way that I look at things. I mean, the way that, you know, I feel like it's kind of, I guess, it's, you know, they came from a different generation, so they definitely had some old school philosophies, but I've tried to adapt those and learn from those things. But, as far as they go, I mean, they're just awesome people that, they just really, really were genuine. And I think for me, finding genuine people, I, you know, you can have all the money in the world and have all these different things, but if you're just not a genuine person and you're not a good person, it's hard for me to be able to relate to that type of person, because of kind of my upbringing and who I grew up around. So,
yeah, no, they were, they were amazing people. You know, they were so accepting to me. They treated me like, you know, I wasn't even related to them. And I just remember going over there and them treating me like their grandchild too. Like I was, even as a kid, like was amazed by that, because you don't really feel that, you know, from people at all.
Right.
Like you can't just walk into someone's house and feel like accepted like that. And I always just thought like that was the best thing ever. And
You know,
absolutely. I always will love your grandparents for that. And you definitely, we can't talk about your grandparents without talking about your grandpa's basement, because that was like the coolest place of all time. So you gotta talk about
definitely.
That.
So, just kind of, I mean, just, you know, an idea of who he was. I mean, you know, he was an Italian immigrant. He was born in 1931. He grew up in Italy during World War II as a young boy. He sold cigarettes, actually, on the black market. He was the oldest boy out of his family. So he was 11 years old. So here's this 11-year-old boy selling cigarettes to German soldiers, Nazi soldiers, that at the time were allies with Mussolini for part of the war. I mean, you know, a lot of people are going to know their World War II history, but things obviously changed a little bit, and that was, they weren't always the entire time. But yeah, he sold cigarettes to the soldiers, whoever was there, whoever was occupying it at that time, and that's how he made his money doing that. So you know, he's seen things, I'm sure, that were unimaginable. For an adult, let alone a kid. He didn't talk about it a lot. He talked about some of it, but I think a lot of it still hurt him so bad to think about it. And I don't think he wanted us to know that side of the world, and how ugly it was. So he didn't talk a lot about it. But in 1952, him and his two younger brothers had the opportunity to actually go to three different places with a Catholic charity. They had like a, I guess, a boat set up where they were going to take however many Italian immigrants from whatever town they were in. And they had the choice of going to New Zealand, Canada, or the United States. He picked the United States. I'm still not sure why he picked the United States. I guess New Zealand was a close second place thing for him, that he had told family members that that might have been somewhere where he wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But he ended up picking the United States, and him and his two brothers moved out here. They learned the language. He actually learned how to read by reading comic books. And this is a guy that had a fourth grade education. So a lot of this stuff was self-taught to him.
Yeah.
And just kind of going back on your point on the basement, he was a really creative person. So he always wanted to think, and he just always wanted to learn, because I think he never had anything growing up as a kid. I mean, he said that they would play. The only possession that they had was a pair of shoes, a couple pairs of clothes, and they would roll up their socks to play soccer with their socks. And during Christmas time, their favorite part of the year was Christmas, because they would actually, in their shoes, they would get the little small clementine oranges in there with just assortment of whatever nuts were available, I guess, at that time. And they just appreciated those little things. So him coming out here, I think it just meant a lot to him. And with him being able to learn and being able to do things, he had just the coolest setup, I mean, of stuff. I mean, from, he built all these train tracks, from hand with like paper mache stuff. And they had little mountains and villages, and he'd have, I mean, just giant train tracks that you could, imagine as a kid. He had these things in his basement that were just so cool, especially seeing as a little kid. I mean, it was just awesome to see that stuff. And as a little kid, it looks like it's just unbelievable and unreal. And then he also had his own photo developing room in the basement that he had put in there a little bit later on, where he learned how to develop photos. He owned his own restaurant for some time in North Denver, so he had a restaurant called Jim's Pizzeria that he bought from the guy Jim later on, and that's what he enjoyed doing. Was he enjoyed cooking for people, taking care of his family, and just trying to do right, I guess, and trying to make sure that his family was taken care of and that he could enjoy things. Just the little things, really, is what I got out of it. Was that he just really enjoyed the little stuff. So,
do you find? I know you kind of talked about this a little bit, but do you find that you raise your kids the same way, or I know you mentioned adapting some of their morals and their idea of, you know, upbringing to like today's standards or whatever. But do you find like you raise your kids in a similar way?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think so. And I think you do have to be adaptive because you have to understand that things are much different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to change with the times. I mean, but I think from the perspective of making sure, I mean, it's just simple kind of, you know, ground rules. I mean, that just respect people, you know, work hard in life. I mean, have integrity, and chase your dreams. I mean, because that was like my grandpa's biggest thing, to chase your dreams, because he didn't really get to do that in Italy. I mean, a lot of people don't see this perspective of things. I probably don't even see it enough because, you know, I had a roof over my head. I had everything that I needed as a kid. Mm-hmm. Even coming from a single household, I mean, we weren't poor. We didn't have a lot, but we had what we needed.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people from other countries, they come over here with a greater appreciation for things because they came from nothing. I mean, a lot of these people didn't have anything. So I think that hearing him say that, to like chase your dreams, always just played a big part in my head because he didn't have the opportunity to do those things. So I think what he really, really wanted for his kids and then later on his grandkids was to just follow what you want to do in your life and not be pressured by society or what you feel like you should do, or just to be successful. I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to be a millionaire. If you're happy and you're doing what you love to be doing, then I think that you would die much happier than
of course,
maybe being a millionaire. But I don't know. I'm not a millionaire, so it's hard for me to say how it would feel if you had a ton of money. But
Well, that's tough to have that kind of perspective. Like, that's such a unique perspective, I think, coming from or having like a ton of money. Like, a lot of people, including us, like, I don't understand that at all. So, but I 100% agree with you. I think God, chasing dreams is such a, it's almost like a, it's like a dying ideal, you know? Nowadays, you're kind of told to, especially in our family, the family we shared anyway, like, it's just really not something we're told growing up. You don't get told to chase your dreams. You get told, like, get a job and work as much as possible until you don't have to work anymore. And then that's kind of it. So I think me and you raise our kids really similarly, where we're like, do what makes you happy. Happy is
Definitely. You know,
So speaking of dreams though, like, you know, what was yours growing up as a kid? I don't know if we've ever talked about this.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
What was your dream growing up as a kid? I'm not sure we've ever really talked about it.
I think I had a few. I mean, and you know, this is one. I mean, maybe being a kid that really enjoyed sports. As a kid, I thought, you know, I was going to grow up and be a professional, whatever, football player, basketball player, one of those things. But I think something that you realize as you grow up, not everybody has that talent. So I still had the love for sports. So, I mean, that was just something really, really big in my life. because I just really enjoyed sports a lot. I mean, and this is probably something that not most kids probably did. But growing up before the internet was really around, sounding old now, I guess I'm God, dating
yeah, that
myself
sounds
there
crazy
a little bit.
that sounds but, crazy to even hear.
Without the internet, I couldn't just jump on and look at whatever I wanted to look at or type in whatever I wanted to type in.
Sure,
actually,
yeah.
I got really excited every day when I went to my grandparents' house because my grandma would actually save the sports page for me. So I would actually look in the sports page and I would compile like all these stats and all these crazy numbers and different things like that. And I would come up with my own lists for like baseball players' stats and keep different stats and keep track of how many points this person needs to get to this. And I'd write all these things down in the paper and I'd do all this studying and research about all these numbers with sports. And it was just something that I really, really liked. And still to this day, I'm just fascinated by, by sports and by numbers a lot with just, I mean, you know, whether it's hockey, baseball, football, basketball, I'd say any of those four major sports, it's just always been something that's really, really intrigued me a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think something that me and you have enjoyed to do a lot, and I think that's why I really like it so much is, you know, the relationship that we have together, it's a ton of fun. And then the fantasy hockey and doing all that stuff. I've always really liked that a lot too, since it's come around.
Yep. Fantasy hockey is definitely our thing. But you've gotten me to do other stuff though. Like last year we did football and basketball, with you and your son. So that was like my first time doing those things not last year, the year before. So I did it two years in a row, I think. With you guys, but yeah, I mean, I wasn't into sports as a kid, you know, like I was not into sports. You were always the sports guy, and I just got into it, you know, more later in life, and like we really went to town, I think, you and I, when it came to sports and fantasy sports. Like that's, you know, during fantasy season, like that's all we talk about, it's all we do. Talk about waiver wire pickups and how did, you know, the team do last night. And yeah. And then we're so crazy competitive with each other.
That's another thing. Yeah.
We've gotten into it a couple times about fantasy sports of all things. So that's always a good time. But you know, not one of our finer moments, but hey, what are you going to do?
Humans, you know, and the competitive juices sometimes get going there a little bit. I think it's natural. And then you do it with somebody that you know, have a really close relationship with. So,
yep. So. Yeah. And, you know, nobody else in our family really does that stuff. I don't think that's kind of just, that's our thing. I think like we're,
And it's been something that we both enjoyed a lot. I mean, and I can honestly say that I have the most fun doing it.
Oh, I love
when we've done it together.
I love it, man. It's such a good time. Absolutely. It's such a good time. But so you were talking about like your mom and growing up in a single household and stuff. And, you know, I know she was a huge role in your life too, because, well, obviously she's your mom, but also like she really took time to pay attention to you and you know, what you were up to and things like that. Do you want to talk a little bit about, growing up with your mom and things like that, maybe versus your dad? You know, I know we had like a pretty similar upbringing, so.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, so my mom and myself, you know, really, really close relationship growing up, because I can honestly probably count on both hands. I mean, how many times I've seen my dad from kindergarten to sixth grade. I mean, that's how few times I really seen him in that stretch there. So my mom, I mean, she was just always, always there for me. And that's, you know, one thing that the reason, not one thing, but, one of the things, why my mom and I have such a close relationship still, because she just always made me feel loved. And I think as a kid, there's a lot of people, you know, that I've met in life later on that they didn't really get that same experience and they didn't really get to feel that. And for a long time for me, it was hard to understand that. But then looking at it from their perspective, not everybody gets the chance to be loved. And I think for my mom and myself, what we just had so much was that she was just such a sweet person, that genuinely, genuinely cared about what was best for me. And we just ended up having a very, very close relationship. And I think a lot of that too comes from her upbringing too, with her parents.
Yeah.
Being from an Italian family, they tend to be very close. Family is probably the number one thing in their household. And that was always what my mom always preached was, you know, family is going to be most important to you. I mean, it should be most important to you. And, just my mom always being there. I mean, whether it was taking me to sports stuff, scraping up the little bit of money that she had, I mean, to go to the movies or to get me like Ninja Turtle toys or something. When I was a little kid, I still remember, you know, when I was, I think first grade, maybe, I know she didn't have much money because as a single parent, you know, I can relate now that it's tough. I mean, when you only have one paycheck coming in, she scraped up what she had and she bought me a Sega brand new for, I think it was Christmas or my birthday. And, she just did that just because she wanted to make sure that, she did those things for me, I guess, just as any other mom would want to do for their kids. And my dad, it's hard for me to say because I get a little bit of a mixed story and there's always going to be two sides of the story, but
sure, yeah.
Mine and his relationship was just so like sporadic and all over the place that, you know, I can think of times when I was a little kid when I really, really looked forward to seeing my dad. And, he picked me up one time in kindergarten and, I thought he might do that again. And, I kind of stopped waiting. And I think after what happens, the older you get, I think every child wants to have that. I mean, they want to have their mom and dad because they see other kids that have that and they see, you know, other families that are happy. And it's like, well, you know, why not me? I mean, why am I so different? I mean, why didn't my dad want to be around for me? So as I got older, I didn't crave that relationship with him as much anymore. It kind of started turning into more of a, like, I didn't feel like he really wanted to be there for me. So why should I feel like I needed to really worry about him so much? And that's kind of, as I got into like the middle school times, our relationship was, I mean, we had no relationship basically at that time. So
that's hard for a kid. Like we, and me and you really relate in that sense. And I think with our moms, especially, I think your mom and my mom both related to each other. And then, you know, pass that down to us kind of where my mom treated you like her kid and your mom treated me like her kid too, whenever we were together. And so it was like this little, I don't know, it really made me and you close. And especially with our dads, like we both didn't have them around. And when we did have them around, it was kind of touch and go. And, you know, we weren't sure the dynamic there. And I think both of our dads kind of just wanted to like step in and be dads. And at some points, me and you weren't ready for that. It's weird because then, you know, I know for myself anyway, like I craved that, but it's odd. I remember there's this one situation in fifth grade or fourth grade where we were learning about families. And it's like the first time this ever even occurred to me that my family was different. So, you know, obviously I got raised by Grammy and mom, or my mom.
Right.
And I remember they were teaching us about families and they were showing like a mom and a dad and a mom and a kid and, you know, a grandma and a mom. And I thought, oh my God, that's me. That I have a family like that exists. I remember that was the first time it occurred to me that, first of all, my family is different and that was a thing and that I had one. So I think me and you grew up really similarly in that way, where we were like, this is just how things are. They're normal. And then maybe some outside influence kind of made it seem different. And it just like hit us all at once. Because I don't remember ever talking. Right. Like when we were kids, I don't remember ever talking about that stuff. Talking about our dads either. Or anything like that at all. It was just how things were, you know?
Right.
So I think that's kind of interesting.
And I think a lot of it too, as a kid, I mean, what you try to do is you don't really know how to process those things. And I think that's a lot of it, is you almost don't want to really think that it's real, but in the back of your mind, you do know it's real. And I think it's kind of an interesting thing too, because, you know, growing up in the 90s, I mean, it was still, we weren't really quite there yet. I mean, to the point where it was okay, where it was being talked about as much on like TV or, you know, anywhere that you've seen, where it was like, oh, you know, it's not, you're not, you know, you're not unusual to not have your mom and dad around. And, you know, we were still kind of coming out of that generation, as to now, where it's different, where it's like, you know, I mean, not every child is going to have their mom and dad in the same household. And I think the times in, you know, society has helped show that, you know, you can have one parent and they're able to be an amazing person to you. And you can still have what you need in life, and you don't need to have necessarily, I guess, that perfect family. I mean, maybe that's just my perspective because of how I grew up. I don't know. I mean, and I'm sure it is, because I bet people that had both parents would feel differently about that. So I don't know. And I don't know if there's a right or there's a wrong.
No,
to that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so. And it's obviously, there's a lot of factors. I mean, where we grew up, when we grew up. And because I remember a point in time where I was going to, you know, one certain elementary in a certain area, and like half the kids in there's parents were divorced. But then when I changed to like a different area, it was a shock. Even in middle school in the late 90s, when their parents were getting divorced, like it was a shock. And I just thought that was a thing. Like I thought most parents were just not together. So it's just really weird, you know, to go from one to the other. And I remember when I moved, people would ask me where my dad was and things like that. And I was just like, I don't know. So, So it was just, I mean, me and you pretty much almost kind of the same way in that sense, where our dads were and things like that. Do you think, like, when did you hit the point where you wanted that relationship or where you sought it out?
As far as a relationship again with my dad?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was kind of unique how it happened. I don't know if unique's the right word for the way that it went down, but, I wasn't really the one that sought it out. So I didn't talk to him the last time I talked to him was when I was in ninth grade, the summer of ninth grade. I went and stood down with him for about a week or so. Me and him had gotten into it at that point. He thought I was lying to him about something, that actually I wasn't lying to him about. And, after that, we really kind of fell out of it. And, we hadn't talked after that until I was 18, and maybe a couple months after 18. And it was kind of a really shitty way of doing things. The only reason he reached out to me at that time was because he wanted to, find out if I was living with my mom still, which I wasn't. Reason why he wanted to find out if I was still living there with my mom was they didn't have to pay child support anymore. Which is understandable. Yeah, I grew up and I realized he shouldn't have to pay my mom child support if I'm not living in the house. He could have went about it a little better though. I mean, as being an 18-year-old young man that grew up the way that I did already with the issues that I had with my dad, he could have went about it a little bit differently instead of the first kind of, you know, couple conversations that we had of being do you live with her? And I need you to come down to my attorney's office and sign these papers for me, kind of thing. So that actually, I think, filled me with a little bit more anger than even I ever had as a kid towards him. Because as a kid, I just didn't think he really cared enough to be around. And I eventually got over that and just chalked it up as being, okay, well, that's fine. It wasn't me. It was just him. Because that's what my mom and my grandparents would always tell me, was that it's not you, it's him. He's the one that's missing out. So that I was able to deal with. But as a young man and knowing a little bit more, the way that he handled it, that kind of filled me with a little bit more anger and rage towards him. So we had a little bit of a rocky couple years. I had my son at 19. So I was very young at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the heck I was doing as a dad, but I just knew. And this was something that me and you had always talked about. It's something that I even share with people nowadays. And I don't think a lot of people even look at me and they don't understand it. But I know you do, because we've talked about this forever. We always told each other that we were going to take things, good or bad, and the bad things that made us feel like shit, you know, as a kid or whenever, we were never going to do those things to our kids. And the good things, we were going to make sure to do those things with our kids. And, you know, and then of course put our own stamp on things and do what we felt was right for our children too. So my dad and my relationship, he didn't really start to try to be a dad to me again until I had my son. And I don't know if it was something where it kind of all hit him and he thought maybe he had a second chance of making things right, since not only does he have a son, but now he has a grandson. And, you know, I'll vouch for him there, that after I had my son Elijah, he really stepped up and he helped me out a lot. And we still kind of had a weird relationship, because when you don't grow up with somebody as a kid, you don't really know them. I mean, and as a dad, he was almost just like, okay, I mean, I've spent time with you, Dad, but I don't really know you. I don't know what the heck to talk about with you. We don't even know if we have any of the same interests. It wasn't until maybe I was about 25, 26, when we really did start actually getting close, and I started to really see who he was. And you know, everybody makes mistakes, so maybe in his younger years he could have been a different person. But I'm somebody that believes, if you know, somebody wants to change and make a difference, and I think as a kid I always did crave that relationship with him, so I'm like, all right, what the heck, I'll give it another chance. So you know, being 31 now, actually, my dad and I have a very close relationship, and he's changed a lot as a person. And I think him changing and showing me a different side of him is what's really showed me that he does care about me and love me. So
yeah, it's complicated, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
But yeah, I think, if we hadn't gone through those situations, maybe we wouldn't be as good of fathers as we are. Like, maybe we wouldn't care as much, like, or take it for granted, you know? And I think, at least for me, I'm like really grateful that I, like, it makes me appreciate being a dad so much more. It makes me like just want to be a dad. And like, I love it, you know? It's really like a thing I felt that, when it happened, you know, I was scared, but it just felt like I had been, it's so weird to say, but like I had been waiting my whole life for that, just to be a father. Like it was weird. Like just to show somebody like all the love that I wanted to be shown, I guess, when I was a kid.
Right.
So it's just,
and I think that's a good point.
It's life changing, you know?
No, absolutely.
It's weird. You know, you hear people say having kids is life changing, but it was just like absolutely 100% life changing every day. So maybe if we had dads like around all the time, it wouldn't be that way. You know, I always think about that.
Right.
Maybe
right. And I think a lot of it, We were lucky, I mean, in a way, because I think a lot of it too, not having a dad around like that, you know, made us into a stronger person, and somebody that was just something that we just absolutely like felt we wanted to do was be the best possible fathers to our kids because, you know, of that void that was left out by our dads. I know that, I think I could speak for the both of us when I say this, but neither one of us ever wanted our kids to ever feel the way that we felt
Yeah.
without having a dad around.
No, not at all. I never want that for them. You know, it really makes you work harder, like in every aspect of your life too. Like you don't, you know, where a lot of people would, and I, you know, speaking for myself, I mean, me and Robin have been through things where I'm, you know, you're ready to stop or whatever, or just, you know, but it not having that person around, you think a lot harder before you make those decisions. And obviously sometimes those are the right decisions, you know, and you have to make that choice at that time. But like, I think especially you would understand this, like you do work a lot harder. You work so much
Oh,
harder
yeah.
to make everything work and to be accommodating to everybody and to be there for them when they need you. Like you're so much more self-aware and aware of everyone else and how they're feeling almost in like every situation because you're so used to, you know, only being made time for at certain points or only being noticed at certain times or, you know, and as hard as our parents worked, our moms to make us feel loved or whatever when we were kids, you know, it's impossible for them to get pulled in so many directions at all times. And me and you weren't great kids growing up.
No, that's a whole nother topic too. I mean, yeah,
So
something we can definitely we can approach anytime too. I'm open to
yeah,
maybe on another one, but
we weren't the best kids, so but no, I you know what? I'm glad we grew up the way we did. I think me and you really like I said, I don't remember ever asking each other those kinds of questions when we were kids at all.
No, I don't either. I can't think of ever thinking about, I mean, I know we talked about it later on down the road, in our 20s and stuff, but as a kid, I don't think we ever did. I mean, I try to think back to that, and it seems so long ago that I remember certain parts of it where I started to not want to see my dad, but I don't really ever remember talking to you about like how I felt about it really though.
I remember when I first reconnected with my dad, I was in like, God, I was probably, it was right either when Robin was pregnant with Asher or right after he was born. So it was all the way in 2010. So I hadn't talked to mine in probably almost 12 years or so. And so you're the first person I remember calling or asking. Well, besides Robin, obviously, but you know, for advice and what I should do. So
Yeah, I remember.
yeah. So I mean, if that tells people how close we are, you know, I think that's probably a pretty good example of like our relationship. But I guess you know, I'll open it up to you, man. I mean, is there anything you've always wanted to ask me or know or, you know, been too nervous to ask or anything like that?
Well, I mean, you told you a lot about, how I felt with my dad, and I guess, just somebody that can definitely relate to you. I would just ask you, as a kid, I'd be interested to know, 'cause I know how you felt as an adult, but as a kid, how did you feel not having your dad around?
When I was a kid, this is gonna sound, maybe this will sound awful to some people, but I was really scared of him. I was always really scared that he would kidnap me. So for me, not having my dad around was kind of like a blessing. Because you know, well, you know how things were with my mom and Grammy and you know, uncles and aunts and stuff. And so just as a kid, I always grew up, like, I remember certain situations where I got told that he would take me from school. And so they would warn the school that he was going to take me. So, like, I lived in constant fear just all the time. So in that sense, you know, it was kind of a blessing, to not have him around and not have to be scared, all the time. Then when him and my mom went to court to, I guess, finalize or come up with some terms for visitation, the first time I went, my grandma, my dad's mom, and him and his, they weren't married at the time, so I guess it was his girlfriend, came to pick me up, and I was supposed to go for a weekend. And I remember my mom telling me to kick and scream as hard as I could until they let me go. Like, that was the mentality, like, you have to not go, you have to get away. And I know on my mom's end, a lot of that was fear for her too. I mean, they were in an abusive relationship and my dad was, you know, an alcoholic. And so she was fearful that he would, you know, do the same things to me. And so she just, you know, was terrified too, I'm sure. I don't know. We haven't really talked about it, but I can imagine, you know, I wouldn't want my kids to go with an abusive alcoholic either.
Sure. No.
So I remember just kicking and screaming in the street. And like in the middle of the morning, everybody just like watching, you know, neighbors outside and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But after the first time I went, you know, I got used to it a little bit, and there were those times though where I was still scared. So I think that was the biggest feeling that I had as a kid, was scared to have that relationship. As I got a little bit older, I really wanted it, but there were just so many times where he showed me that I should be scared. That I just, this is going to sound bad too, but I didn't want a relationship with him until I knew I could fight him myself. So that was hard, because I wanted a dad really bad, man. I remember when my mom got married to, her first husband. I've never, told anybody this stuff except for Robin, but when my mom got married to her first husband, or her second husband, I'm sorry. I remember asking him if I could call him dad, and he kind of told me no. He wasn't like, he didn't want to be a stepdad. You know, he was a military guy, so he didn't really want to be a stepdad. He didn't, he took a very, like, I don't know, his approach to fatherhood was like kind of cold and, structured and like, you're the kid, you do what I say, the end. Like, we don't hug, we don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when she and him got divorced and she got married to her third husband, oh man, that was like, I know that's weird to say because you know him, and you know, like, his situation and stuff. So that was the best thing ever. Like, he was a great dad when he wasn't on drugs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me realize even more how bad I wanted a father. Like, I never told you that, you know. I never told you how bad I wanted a dad growing up, but probably in like the worst way. Like, I just wanted to have that relationship because I didn't really know what that was like or why it wasn't normal for me or why, like, I couldn't, you know. Or so even though our uncles took that role on a lot, it, you know, it was never going to be the same because they still, you know, they had their own kids. So
right.
I was kind of like a burden in a way, I think, a lot of times. And maybe that's wrong. You know, I'm sure they wouldn't say that. But I know, and maybe not a burden, but I know it must be hard to have your own kids and then feel like you also have like this responsibility to this other kid that's not yours. That must be really weird and hard. So yeah, I wanted one, but I was just, it wouldn't have happened, you know?
Well, and I think, speaking on a couple of those things, it's just natural. I would say, for any kid, to want to have that father figure because they've seen it somewhere. Whether it was on, as silly as this sounds, whether it was on TV, a movie, anything like that. Whether they're, maybe they're one of their good friends, their mom and dad were together. So, you see those things, and as a little kid, you really, really do crave that because you want to know what that feels like, and you want to be able to have that relationship, with your dad. And I think, when you're speaking on like our uncles and stuff, it's not that they didn't care, but I think you're absolutely right though, like with the fact that, they had their own kids and you weren't their kid.
And I appreciate everything they've done. Like, I really do. You know, when I was a kid, I was a jerk about things. And, you know, I had that whole you're not my dad mentality. But, like, I appreciate everything they did. If it weren't for them, I think I'd be a very, very different person today. But, yeah, I mean, we weren't their job. And they still did what they could for us. So, you know, that's not easy at all. But our family is very, you know, they do some things where, you know, there's like weird competition and stuff, but they come together when they have to, and they always, you know, they're always there to help each other. So you can't, like, most a lot of families aren't like that.
No, no.
You mentioned TV. I thought that was interesting because did you when you were growing up, did you ever like look at TV shows and see like TV families and think like, "Oh, that's what that's supposed to be like," or like, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. I think, I don't know. I think as a kid, a lot of the stuff that you learn, because you spend so much time in front of the TV, but I can just think of like just rattling off a few, like you see it like with I can think of the one show Home Improvement with Tim Allen, and they seem like the coolest family ever. As a kid you're like, oh man, look at these guys. He's married, he's got three boys, he's a cool dad, he does all this stuff and his kids love him. And a lot of shows, I would say, probably in the 90s, a lot of them were based on a husband and a wife. The only one you could think of that really wasn't was Full House, which is interesting because it was three guys instead of raising kids and stuff. So
I when we were growing up, this could sound so stupid, but I would try to get myself into situations that I had seen on TV. Like, I don't know, I used to watch The Cosby Show a lot and Full House, and so I would see things that those kids would get into, and I'd try to get into them so that I could see if my family would respond the same way. And then if they didn't, I would think like, oh, well, it's because my dad's not here. Like, if my dad was here, then that's exactly how it would go. Like, looking back on that, that's so dumb. But yeah,
I don't think so. I
that's how I
don't
used
think
to
so. I think it's just
be.
natural.
But
So
yeah, it was weird.
I just think a lot of it's just, you see these things as a kid, and it's a lot of that influences you because you see these things, and that's kind of what the TV's trying to tell you and teach you. So you see these things like that, and you're going, wow, why am I why am I I'm why am I where I am currently, and I don't have, why can't my mom and dad be like this? Why can't it be like this, or different things like that. And I think a lot of people would actually be able to relate to that. If they came from a similar situation like us, and I really do. So
It's funny. I didn't mean for things to get so serious, but I knew somehow we'd end up here because that's because of the current state of things and, you know, and our lives and things like that. So I just, I knew that was going to happen. Hopefully it wasn't too personal for you, but no, I appreciate you doing this for me, dude. You know,
no, absolutely, man. Yeah.
We're always going to be close and no matter what happens. And so, you know, I just appreciate you doing it for me. So thank you.
No, yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on and, you know, any other time, I mean, I'd be happy to come on and talk to you too. Thank you for being open and honest with me too. So
yeah,
I was glad to do it, man. So, and I know we've always been that way. So no, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. And if you got any parting words, let me know. Otherwise, thank you again. And we'll definitely do this again.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, no, thanks again for having me on here, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.